evening.
Good evening.
I was worried about you. You doing all right?
Well, yes, I just had a busy day. Brandy forgot her phone yesterday, and so she had to come back today. But, you know, we did a lot of discussing and all, and I don't know, the day just one thing after the other. I still don't have my shoes on. I just brushed my teeth about an hour ago.
Understood.
But the meeting was wonderful yesterday. I think we accomplished a lot. So I'll have to talk to you privately because I have some ideas.
Okay, well, let's move forward with the Zohar class and then we can
talk. Right.
We're on Sulam commentary on the Zohar, section 7. We're starting with Pasuk 95. Le'achta l'shem yud-hei bevat-hei. Ve'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. La'asok Torah mitzvah. Ve'yino amatunay Elohinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu kunenehu. Welcome whoever came on.
Malka.
Hi.
Welcome, Malka.
Hello.
We're in section 7 on Parsha Vayera, and we're starting with Pasuk 95, and we've read the L'shem Yehud.
Okay.
V'tachasei Avraham ha'amalon k'chezu b'nei nasha v'yaf al gav dechawa. Kaiv nimila nafak urchat avadraihu begin dilal migra matahawa aved mikad mat dina. The translation. Come and see. Abraham saw them in the image of men, and even though he was in pain because of the circumcision, he ran forth to greet them, so that he would not miss anything, and would not behave differently than before his circumcision. When he always accepted and welcomed new guests. My commentary. The pasuk is clear as written. Why do you think it was important for Abraham to behave the same before and after the Brit? Questions, comments, thoughts?
I'm sorry, I got distracted. Brandy just sent a message saying all circuits are busy and she can't get on. So I have to reread it quickly. You said it was what verse, 95?
95.
Okay, let me just read it quickly, and Malka can respond. I'm not quite sure. I might hang up if I tell you to tell her to just keep crying, because that happened to me for 2 weeks.
Getting
right. So if I let me read the portion, and then because I'm sure she'll keep trying anyway. But let me just read the verse. Okay.
Malka, did you want to make any comments or questions?
No.
Okay.
I think that with the Brit, he elevated his soul, and you never knew if the spiritual world would visit you at any given time, and you didn't want to miss out on encountering those opportunities. And then he was a chariot of heaven, so he knew I think he knew what his purpose was. Mm-hmm. And
yes, he did.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. But it's a nice comment.
But he always, I don't know, I think of the letter bet, that it's always open, you know, for hospitality. And that was one of the things he did from the beginning, was to invite people, you know, into his tent and welcome strangers, you know, bring more souls.
That is his nature.
Right.
The nature of Chesed, because he's a chariot for Chesed. It's to be open and welcoming and serving and kindness, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't explain why the Zohar is telling us that he did not want to behave differently before the Brit or after the Brit. He wanted it always to be the same. And
that's
you can accept what you're both. You can accept what you're both saying. That it was, that was his nature, and so that's what he strived to do. But he was on the third day of his Brit, and that is the most painful time. But the real, if you stop and go a little bit deeper, Abraham was he was an important personage. The people in the area knew him. They knew that he was connected to Hashem because he was always talking to people about Hashem. And they knew that he had undergone the circumcision. But now, if he doesn't behave the same, he is sending a message to people that following Hashem caused him to change in a more negative way. If he behaves the same, then people would be consider that they would might consider having their own Brit. But the real consciousness that Abraham is displaying is to be aware of what other people are thinking and how they perceive a Jewish person, really a child of Israel, how they perceive him behaving. And that applies to every Jewish person today. Because the non-Jewish person looks at the Jew and sees, oh, is this a righteous person or is this a thief? And that's why when Bernie Madoff did what he did, it's a horrible reflection on Jewishness, on the Torah. And people judge Bernie Madoff as the Jew fitting the stereotype of what they've been taught as children. That's why he found it important. And he sets the tone. You have to be concerned about how the non-Jewish person is going to see your behavior, because you reflect, whatever you do reflects on the whole nation of Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great responsibility. But if you don't even consider it, if you're not even aware of it, it's very easy not to follow your behaviors from before and after, and allow people to make up stories that, oh, the Torah is not really righteous, God forbid. People are looking to judge you that way. It's unfortunate, but it's true.
Well, I think one of the things is maybe we say too much sometimes. That's what I'm seeing, you know, that you telling us unless the person asks, we really shouldn't give our opinions, let's say, or what we know, because we think we should do. It's like almost giving them too much hesed, and they're not ready to handle it.
And that's true. If there's no question, if the, you know, you don't guess what somebody's thinking. If there's no question to you to explain your actions, you're better off not saying it, because the question is the vessel to reveal the light of your answer. The question is the opening for your chesed to be demonstrated. So you can ask, can I help? I was speaking to a student today who was nervous about the virus. And a friend of theirs had been diagnosed with symptoms, but they didn't have the test results yet. And she was nervous about what she should do, how she should handle it. And I explained, call them up, because only the husband took the test. But the wife is in the separation situation also, because she's not going to go out to go shopping for food. She's going to be in isolation along with her husband.
Right.
And even more so because he's going to be in one room and she's going to have to stay in the other room. But, you know, what's the chesed? Without risking yourself, call them and say, what do you need from the store? And you go and buy that for them and deliver it to their door, but don't go inside. Just leave it on the front doorstep. And then call them and tell them it's there so they can come out and get it. You know, these kinds of things, it's about chesed. It's about demonstrating what is a Jewish value, but doing it in a safe way. Should I go on?
I think so. If my uncle's ready to go.
Yes, sir. Go on.
Verse 96. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Wadai Kehezu de Malakin, Chamalom, Mima Bikti, Vayomer Adonai, Bialef. Dalit Shakinta Hawatya Wailain Hawo Samikin Dila Vikarsiayo Lagaba Baginda Inun Gavavnin Tilat Titota. The translation. Rabbi Shimon said he definitely did see them in the form of angels. This can be understood from the words, and he said, my lords, the Hebrew word is Adonai, or it's actually Adon, with the letters Aleph and Dalet. These letters, which form the name of the Shekhinah, are the first two letters of the name Adonai. For it was the Shekhinah that was approaching, and these angels were her supports and her throne. They are the three colors, white, red, and green, that are under the Shekhinah. My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written with Rabbi Ashlag's comments. Do you think that telepathy works in a way that one person can see one way and another person see it another way? Questions. Comments, thoughts.
Well, the answer to your question is definitely yes. as we know, there's so many interpretations and so many, you know, you have a positive side to everything and a negative side to everything. It's like even the meaning of our names, you know, which kind of tends to help you.
Absolutely true.
A cocoon. So, yes, definitely
absolutely
that.
True. But when you think about science fiction books, they don't talk in terms of telepathy being different for different people. They use it in the way we use language. And that was the purpose of my question, to cause you to realize that we take it for granted. And we follow the patterns of behavior that are the way men work, the way women work. And it's only if you open yourself up to different possibilities that you can learn to understand all of these tools that Hashem has gifted us with that we are not really utilizing yet.
Let me give you a little example. I know in one of the lessons you mentioned something about, are you familiar with Psalm 140? And I said, not right off. But then a couple of days later, I heard your voice say the same thing, just all of a sudden. And it made me wonder if you were sending me a message. So I went and read. It was in the night. You know, it was like 2:00
right.
in the morning. And so I, you know, I got the Psalms on my phone. So I grabbed my phone and read Psalm 140. And it was the Laman Zayach Psalm. So I knew that it was the cutting, pruning Psalm. And that was the first verse. And I looked to see how many verses. And there were 10 verses, you know, 11 if you counted the first one, which we know you don't count the first one. And each time I read it, I saw something different, you know. So I don't know, was that telepathy or was that just because you said it somewhere along the way and it popped back into my head at the time that I needed to do it?
We would think that telepathy is at that moment. I sent you the message. But it also could be that you heard my voice because that's what you needed to do to remind you. If you had heard that thought with the voice of Tony, would you have gone to look in the book? It's a rhetorical question. I don't want to know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the idea of what is telepathy. If you were reading a science fiction book, they would describe it that I was thinking about you and sending you that message. But in reality, at 2:00 in the morning on whatever day it was, I was studying Zohar myself, or I was sleeping myself. So how could I send you the message at that moment? But I could, in my sleep, be sending you that same message.
Well, I don't think I thought much about telepathy until the last two verses that you brought it up in our conversation, so that's why I applied that. Another thing that happened during the week when I was doing the additional four deaths prayer, and when I looked at the word stoning, I thought to myself, well, you know, one of the punishments in biblical days was that you stoned a woman in the act of adultery, the act of even the male as well. And then all of a sudden I saw a Torah scroll open up, and I saw the letters go up in the air, and I saw a hand catch the letters and squeeze it, and then kept coming down, 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 and then the hand opened up, and they had glued the letters into a stone, and then they threw the stone. Well, then I thought about David using the stone. And anyway, what I'm trying to get across was when I started going back to the files that I had saved when I had studied before death, like 2 years ago, and there was a Zohar lesson that I had saved, and it told that the letters of the alphabet were stones, and, you know, and that, and then the second time, the second verse, I got the idea of, we just had Tu B'Shvat, and that effect was the burning. That was the effect for that particular separating of the name. And I thought of Tu B'Shvat, how we say man is a tree of the field. And so I could see how wood, that when we were saving the prayers, that particular prayer for that part of the bedtime Shema, that we were being like trees of the field and burning up. Okay, then when I went to study it just last week, I saw that I had the handout, and I didn't remember that. So the memory came back, but I didn't know that I had studied that. And then I remembered you saying how when we study, when we need the information is available to us. And so that was, for me, a real life experience of what you had said. You know,
it's a beautiful story. Thank you, Hannah. It's a beautiful story. Because it's the way the system works. You know, you just don't, half the time you don't even know that you were given the information, but all of a sudden it pops into your head and you know, oh yeah, well, I heard it in a class, but, you know, in reality, it's just that was information you needed at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you won't even use the information at that moment, but a week later, it's needed. But they put it in your head when it's a time that's appropriate for it. So,
and see, I thought it was relatively new because the first time I heard about the four deaths were with you and your classes. And one of my friends borrowed my materials on Silverfall, which is a real good immune support supplement liquid, you know. And when she brought my books back, she just laid it on the shelf. And so I went to put it back where I had it on the shelf. And when I did, I noticed this little small prayer book that was given to me in 1995 when I went to Israel. We stayed with a friend, and before we left, she gave me a cookbook, and she gave me that prayer book. And I happened to look at it, and when I opened it up, and looked at the bedtime Shema, there was the prayer for the four deaths. So I have had it all that time, but because it was such a small, small print, you know, I didn't open the prayer book. And there it was. So it wasn't new at all because this book was given to me, the door was given to me back in 1995. Oh, that happened last week, so.
Welcome to the use of telepathy. Now you have to start sending it out that way.
I don't know how to do that.
We're out of time. You learn in the Sefer Yetzirah class, so whenever we get around to that.
Oh, gosh.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm welcome.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.